kind of left art behind once I stepped into a business management role. And my mother always used to tell me, don't forget to be creative. And I would forget to be creative. I love business. I'm good at it. I have the bandwidth for it. I kind of thrive in chaos, but it also becomes acidic. And creativity is my therapy. And it took me many years to remember to circle back to that. I had the blessing, man, of a buddy of mine named Dax, OG from Atlanta, Dungeon Family, amazing visual artist. He introduced me to another guy named Rhyme, R-I-M-E-M-S-K. He came out to the land, man, and to my spot out in the country, and we had some ceremonies, and man, it was absolutely incredible. But we did these other ceremonies, and Rhyme had me writing and drawing and playing a drum and singing bowl. At one point, he said, now I know why I came. I said, why? He said, to remind you to be creative, you know. And it was like, whoa. Rhyme didn't know that that's what my mother was telling me before she passed.
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost done. And I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like a stroke shimbo. And I ain't too close, it's Joe Smo goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him, I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps, and I can do both. Even do this, word.
Edward Crow, welcome back to the On the Stacks podcast.
Yeah, happy birthday, brother. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate you having me.
It's great. It's been a long time, but it's not my birthday, man.
Oh, it's everybody's birthday. You know what I mean? We wake up in the morning. It's the first day of the rest of our lives, and I like to celebrate.
Where does this come from?
There's a guy named Pooh Bear who's an amazing songwriter. Like, he's written crazy, I mean, huge records, right? Justin Bieber, all kinds of people. And I met him through Yellow Wolf, and he says happy birthday instead of hello. And we thought that was cool, but didn't quite understand it. A couple years went by, and Wolf decided that we were going to do it. He was like, man, let's just say it on the tour, you know? So we started doing it, and then we stepped up a notch, and we started getting birthday cakes on the rider. So now every night we sing happy birthday. It's just something to elevate everybody's mood, remind everybody to celebrate, you know what I mean? Break the monotony. Try to get you out of the hypnotic state, you know, let you know that everything is incredible. That's kind of the gist of it, to my understanding.
I love that.
I love it,
dude. It's wild, man. I think, you know, again, going back. So first of all, it's been almost 2 years since I was down in Nashville, and, you know, when Eric and I were down there with you. And by the way, like, I mean, that was just a great experience. You really took care of us, and yeah, greatly appreciate that. And it's super cool now that you're up here in my neck of the woods, right? And I'm glad we connected to do another episode here. And there's so much other cool shit going on too, which we'll probably get to at some point. But yeah, I love that. You know, I remember just from, again, like around the whole happy birthday thing, which I think is super cool, by the way. At first I was like, wait a second, he fucked up. It's not my birthday.
We get a reaction like that a lot of people. So you just explain, you know what I mean? It's a celebratory thing.
Yeah. But like, I just, you know, again, from the energy from when we were down, like, I know, like, prior to, you know, me coming down to Nashville a couple years ago, you know, I know we had connected multiple times, and but we never met. Like, it was just a relationship just through social media, texting, calling, that type of stuff. And the energy once I got there, I mean, it was life changing. I feel like it was different, man. Like, being around you and you know, your team, and just seeing how you guys do things. And I mean, I didn't, you know, obviously I've never experienced the happy birthday thing like you're talking about, you know, before any of the shows. Just the energy, and you could feel it, and I know you know that, but there's just, you know, with certain people you can feel that energy, whether it's good or bad, right? And I just remember, like, I mean, I talk about it all the time. Like, that was, well, first of all, that was like our first road show, right? That's the first time we ever took this show on the road, which
and
was
y'all
like,
killed it too.
Yeah, yeah. And couldn't have been a better first road show. Yeah, it was just insane. And like I said, the relationships that you know, first of all, between us, of what everything that we've, you know, built over the last couple of years, and everything else in between, all the other people and everything, it's cool. And like I said, I always say this on the show a lot, like, I just love having people on this show that have that energy and vibe.
Because, I appreciate that, bro. And it's the same with you. Like, when you brought that vibe down, you know what I mean? And I think that's why we all clicked.
Yeah. And I think one of the crazy parts is, like, too, like, you know, I could have been some wacko, right? But you know, you took a chance, man. And I'll never forget that. I think that's why, like, when you told me you were coming up here, like, this past weekend, and I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, yo, Edward Crow's coming up. And I was like, I'm like, hey, I'm like, we don't have anything going on. Like, you cool if I, you know, hang with him for a bit? He's doing some things. I want to see if I can help him out. Like, whatever he needs. I'm like, he's obviously not, you know, he's been up this way, but not like really like right here.
Right.
I said, and you know, for various other business reasons that he's been around, but I was like, he doesn't really know the area that well. I said, I'm like, I want to help him out. I just want to, like, he did so much for me when I was down there in Nashville.
Appreciate
and I'm
that,
like, bro. I'm like, it's just like, I got to return the favor.
Well, you returned the favor tremendously. I appreciate all your help.
So yeah, man, it's been quite some time.
Been a couple of years.
I know we've obviously, I feel like, you know, I said to you yesterday, I think, but you know, I've been, you know, watching you, and I know you've been watching, you know, occasionally we'll exchange some texts like, hey, I see that thing you're working on. That's cool. But like, there's been a lot of time in between that, like, and you know, I know you worked on a bunch of different things and so have I, but you know, I'd love to hear like some more of like what really give, you know, more deep dive into what you've been doing for the last, you know, just last year and a half. And there's been so much that you've done, which is awesome.
Man, the reason I'm here this time, as you know, I mean, you came down there and helped me and Ian and everybody slang the cigars. But the reason we're here in the first place is for the Smoke and O's Cigar Festival and introducing and launching Murder Cigars by me. And it's also a Slamerican product, which is Yellow Wolf's brand. It was great, man. It was a really crazy reaction. They show so much love. It was incredible. I'm really, really thankful to Best Cigar Pub, bestcigarprices.com, Jonas with Blackbird, you know what I mean? Everybody who played a role in this, it's just been a huge success.
Yeah.
It feels like it's moving up, you know?
Dude, it's crazy. Like, again, going back to when, you know, when we first ever connected and then when I was down in Nashville, I think we even might've mentioned it just very brief on that first episode. It was episode 178, by the way, if anyone... Matt forgot to mention that a couple minutes ago, but if anyone ever wants to go back and watch the first episode that we did together down at the Eighth Room, by the way, which was killer.
Shout out Hollis at the Eighth Room, yeah. Nashville, Tennessee.
Hollis really hooked us up, which was dope. It was probably one of the cool sets I think we've ever done, ever. Yeah, really, I mean, honestly, crazy. I can't think of a better one. But yeah, I mean, that was cool. But I think, like I said, I think we mentioned at that time, the cigar thing was like just an idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew you were going to do it. It was just a matter of time and when.
Right.
I know you got a lot of things going on. You're a little busy sometimes.
Right. At that point, it was just the bands. I mean, you guys made.
Yeah.
Since then, I mean, I've been working on a lot of stuff. I've signed a couple artists, a couple producers. Been touring with Wolf. We've done a couple movies. I mean, we're still waiting on Mudmouth to come out. You know, we've been shopping at the film festivals. It is still coming out. In case anybody's wondering, you know, I mean, it's incredible. Directed by Gorilla Mike and Jorge Abarca. I mean, during the pandemic in Mexico City, you know what I mean? It was crazy.
Is that when you shot it?
Yeah, during the pandemic Mexico City. So it was very, very
sketchy. Yeah, I kind of remember you briefly like mentioned this to me a little while back, but I don't think I ever really heard like the full story of it.
There's a story behind it for sure, man. It was right during the pandemic, right when the thing hit 2020. We went down there, went to film the movie, and people were, at first, they were like, you don't have to take a COVID test. After the fact, we got down there, they wanted us to take the test. I mean, I wasn't mad at taking the test. I was just mad at sending, you know, $500,000 deposit and then getting told we got to take the test and the insurance doesn't cover it.
Oh, shit.
If the test came back positive. So long story short, we got some doctors up there. We tested everybody. Everybody came back negative. We got to proceed with the filming. And man, when I tell you it's incredible, it's crazy. I mean, it's got, you know, it was originally Mudmouth. It's really evolved through the process of the years that it's taken to get to the finish line. The reason it's taking a while is because there's animated parts and it goes in and out of animation. And the original animator just didn't hit the nail on the head. You know what I mean? It was incredible. It just wasn't the LSD vibe that we were going for.
So you had to rework some things.
Yeah. You know, as you know, animation takes a long time.
For sure.
So, I mean, we're just sitting around waiting on animation, you know, but we finally got a final. Now we're shopping. And we're excited.
That's cool. Congrats, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. I love the, and I get it too, man. Like, you know, I think we were talking right before we came on too. And you know, when you came in, you're just like, oh man, this is like a dope spot. And it's like, you know, I'm like, yo, man, like you're like, you know, I was telling you kind of the backstory when I bought this a few years ago. And I was like, man, if you only saw it, like when I first bought it, like, you know, I put some money into it, you know, obviously, you know, tweaked. And, you know, I feel like over the last few years, you know, doing the show here in my studio specifically, like, I know you were complimenting all the lighting and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, man, like,
killing it, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, it's been one of those things where like, I feel like almost every week I'm like kind of still tweaking something, but that's kind of cool. Like, so I started, you know, just, it's one of those things where, you know, you want to get it right. And it's like, it's always improving. And I get it from, you know, from a quality standpoint. Like, it's just like, it's got a hit. If it doesn't.
Bro, you hit the nail on the head with this spot, bro.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. And like I said, man, I'm super pumped to have you up this way. Like, I knew there'd be a day at some point,
right?
You know, I'm always like, oh man, like I'm watching, because you're, you know, you're bouncing around all the time. I know you're flying out tomorrow, and you're going all over the country again too with Wolf on Tour. But but yeah, man, I'm like always like, oh, I'm trying to watch to see like when you're gonna be up this way. And I'm like, oh, one of these days, he's gonna be around this area, and we'll link up. You know,
it's crazy how it worked out too, and it all started as full circle.
It
you
is.
Know what I mean, how it worked out.
Yeah,
but yeah, we've been on tour for a month right before I came here. Crazy, I missed my, I didn't miss it. They canceled my flight from Chicago to here. And the only other flight was last night, would have landed at 1 a.m., which would have missed the whole festival.
Yeah,
so I had to jump in a rental car. And, yeah, all for nothing. So I had to jump in a rental car and drive 13 hours solo after sleeping too. You know what I mean? I would have skipped a knee tattoos had I known. You have to drive from Chicago to Pennsylvania. But hey, here we are.
Yeah.
We made it.
Yeah. You know, oh man. Yeah. When I got that text and I saw it and I was like, oh man. Like, and you're like, yeah, bro, I'm driving now. I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, man, they canceled the flight. I'm like, oh damn.
That shit was
I'm
crazy.
Like, dude, that's rough. And I saw you got those knee tats. I saw you on Instagram. I'm like, yo, he's gonna be hurting driving right. that.
And I showed up to pack the cigars at the warehouse, and the first thing they give me is a shot of tequila and a donut.
And a donut.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. You know
what I mean? Time to get to work.
Got you right back into it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, man, it's cool. I appreciate appreciate you reaching out and saying like, hey, I'm gonna be around, and I'm glad I was able to join you and Ian, you know, up there at Smokin' O's at Best Cigar. It was a cool experience. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, I think. I know we kind of said this the other day, but like, it was one of those things where like, oh man, like this could go like one way or the other. This could be like really good, or it just could be like, eh. And,
there'll be no middle ground.
Yeah. And I was thinking like, oh, man, I hope it's a hit for Edward. Cause like, otherwise I feel like he might like, you know, he's just gonna be disappointed. And you know, and I knew that this was like the drop, like the launch of
official
the brand
launch,
which you've been working on for years, which, you know, I obviously knew this, and like we talked about it real brief a couple years ago, but this was it. This was it. And it had to hit.
And it's crazy because I thought it was like I'm not gonna say it's not, but you know, it's a very tight knit industry, it appears, you're right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can work in your favor or work against you. And I wasn't sure how it was gonna go. You know, I had some really good allies. So I figured it would go well in that regard, but man, it went so much better than I could have ever imagined. Everybody, we were so well received, so well respected. Yeah. You know, we had a lot of love, man. And I'm very, very thankful for everybody who played a role. I brought you a box.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So that way you can check out the quality.
Yeah,
you know?
I love it, man. You killed it. No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. Murder Cigars, I Wanna Fly. That's what it says above the pyramid, the first pyramid they discovered in Egypt. When you're walking out of the pyramid,
okay,
above the door in hieroglyphics, it says, I want to fly. That's always drawn to me.
Yeah. I love branding, man. I love, and I know you and the team always crush it with whatever it is, you know,
appreciate that,
anything Slow American related.
And this was born from, you know, I originally
What is the story?
It's crazy, right? Like, I mean, I smoke cigars. I love cigars. By no means am I an aficionado or anything like that yet, right? I'm studying up so I could be on point. But someone reached out to me a while ago, probably 3 years ago, and wanted to give Yellow Wolf a cigar. And I hit Wolf and let him know. And he was like, bro, I don't smoke cigars, but you do. He said, why don't we do a cigar for you? And, first thing I'm thinking is I couldn't even visualize it. I didn't really have an idea of how that would pan out. I do smoke cigars, but I was thinking, who cares, right?
Yeah.
But Wolf is a visionary, man. He's always got a vision. And he said that. And then Cairo, one of my other business partners, I had the samples in the back seat of the car. And I was asking him if he wanted to try them with me. And we weren't even talking about designing anything yet. And I showed him the cigars. We were at the gas station. He was like, hurry up, we got to get back to the house. I wasn't even sure what he was talking about yet. We get back there, and when I tell you, he mocked up the original logo in probably 30 minutes. It's like it hit him like that.
Immediately.
Yeah, I mean, before he explained it to me, he designed it. You know what I mean? I was at his house.
That's crazy.
But then, obviously, all this stuff, you know, he worked a lot harder and did a lot of stuff. But yeah, Cairo from Cairo Inc., Cairo Wolf, designed all this, man, killed it. I'm very thankful. Again, man, a lot of people played a role
in
bringing this to life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, to touch on the festival up there too. I think one of the things I thought was really cool. I mean, first of all, like the, you know, there was a ton of people there. I mean, I think they said there was like over, you know, well over 1,000 just in general, yeah, attendees. Right. And
I think just over 1,000, maybe wholesalers or something. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, retailers.
Yeah. And I thought like, you know, all these people come by, like, first of all, you know, it's a brand new, I think, well, to my knowledge, again, like I looked it up too, but, and I'm pretty sure we're right in this, but to my knowledge, you were the only brand that was brand new.
To like my
that,
knowledge, it's the same information.
Like, yeah, everybody that was there has been in the business, you know, either a few years or more or several or like a lifetime worth of time. Yeah. Time, you know, because that's the thing, like the big guys were there, like the major, right, major players, like the big guys, like the biggest in the world, right? Dude, like the attention that the booth got, that the murder booth got, man, it was wild. There was people coming up, just, you know, again, like we were, you know, I was there with you all day and there was people just coming up and be like, hey, like I heard about this and like, it's only been out for like a few hours.
Right,
people, exactly, are like, yo, I saw this. I had to come over and see like who you guys are and meet you and this, right, and that. And everyone was buying them. And that one guy I thought was really cool. I think he noticed your ring on your finger, mm-hmm, and he saw that you were a Freemason and he came up and he was immediately just connected with you. And he was just like, yo, like I got to support a brother. Like, and he's like, I'm just buying these. I don't even care. Like, he's like, just swipe the card. Then we'll talk. He, yeah, like didn't even, he didn't even like, he's like, I don't even care. He's like, just give me them. He's like, I just want to support you. Like,
that was a lot of love. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he was out of Jersey.
Yeah.
Bob out of Jersey. That was a lot of love, man.
That's cool. So, I mean, like obviously, you know, with the, you know, Freemason, and I know when I was down in Nashville a couple of years ago, your boy Warren,
shout out Warren. Yeah, that's my dog.
Yeah. Another one of your brothers. Like, and I did that episode with him and that was your lodge, right?
Right.
We did it at your lodge.
West Nashville, Phoenix 131.
Yeah. Which was, that was another really cool, probably one of the really coolest experiences and sets we've done beyond the other.
Had a great interview.
Yeah,
you guys killed that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you introduced me to him too, because it was like, I remember you said to me like, hey man, like if anything, you know, if how much longer you guys staying? Like, can you, if you want to do any more, like let me know if there's anyone else that you know. And I was like, yeah man, like we're down to roll another episode with someone. He's like, you got to check out my boy Warren. And I was like, yeah. Deal. Of course. Yeah. Let's do it. You know? So that was really cool. And so, like I said, I mean, just, I, up until that point, to be honest, I didn't really know much about Freemasonry at all. No. Like literally,
right,
like nothing, man. Like when I heard about, like, I didn't know anything. Right. And obviously he, of course, you know, he talked, you know, a bit about it. It wasn't the whole episode, even though we were at the lodge, of, mm-hmm, course, but it was cool. It was cool to learn about it. And yeah, you know, there's still a ton that I don't know. And I, right, just, you know, but again, it's one of those things that, it's fascinating. And I love seeing the connection. I think one of, like I said, going back to that gentleman that came up at the booth, mm-hmm, yesterday, man, and he just like, you guys connected. And it was like as if you knew each other your whole lives.
It's always like that. Yeah.
But you're total strangers.
Total strangers, but brothers at the same time.
Yeah, you exchanged contact info right away. And like,
right, it's like we knew we had to do that right then. What's crazy is Pennsylvania is really, really heavy in masonry. There's one of the most beautiful Grand Lodges in the country. I mean, it might be the most beautiful in the country. I don't know. It's the most beautiful one I've ever been to, but it's in Philadelphia. And I believe there's 7 different lodge rooms with different themes, Egyptian themes, crazy, man, Oriental themes. And I mean, from the floor to the ceiling, it's just incredible, you know? And every room has a flaw because only God is perfect.
Mm.
And I'll point the flaw out to you and show you where it looks perfect, but there's one flaw because it is not perfect. You know what I mean?
Like, is it something that would stand out to anyone, or like,
it has
to be like pointed out?
Yeah. I mean, if you went in there and studied for days in one room,
you probably wouldn't,
you might find it. You know what I mean? But it's something that they kind of have to show you. And another really cool thing is like where the entered apprentices go in the building. There's what they call like it's really rough, right? Like hence your character, like you're getting started on your journey. Where the fellow crafts, which would be the second degree, go in the building, it's a little smoother. It's like you've worked on yourself, you've learned more, you've done more self-improvement, right?
Yeah.
Work to become a better person. So it's a little smoother. On the Master Mason side, it's completely smooth. And this is the Pennsylvania Grand Lodge. It's really, really beautiful, man. If you ever get a chance, you should check it out.
Yeah, 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 oh, so hell yeah.
Even if you're not a Mason, it's just a work of art.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, again, going back to when I was down at your lodge, when I did that episode with Warren, man, when we went there, we rolled up, you know, Eric and I, and we pulled up outside and we're like, okay, like, didn't honestly, had no clue what to expect, like, right, really. I mean, I put it this way, I knew whatever it was going to be cool because you don't recommend anything that's not. Like that's like, you know, everything, I feel like everything that you do is fire, man. So like,
thank you, bro.
I you know, of course I just trusted you and I was like, man, hey, if Evercrow's recommending this, I'm like, yeah, I'm down. Like, let's go, man. Like, yes. I'm just like, yeah, let, you know, whatever it is. So yeah. And then we walked in, I was like, I was blown away times 10. And I know, like you said, like this other one that you're talking about is probably, you know, is way more extravagant than that one. But then dude, like we walked in there and I couldn't even believe it because from the outside, it, you wouldn't expect the inside to look what it looked like. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was like one of the coolest places I think I've ever been. Like yeah, I was just mesmerized.
Yeah. And I'm really proud to be a member of that lodge specifically. We like to think of ourselves as very, very progressive and, you know, try to move this whole thing forward. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's a very old, ancient fraternity. You mm-hmm. know, we work hard to make it up to date. You know what I mean? But also respecting the tradition, you know, and keeping things how the forefathers would want them to be.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Got to pay respect to everyone that came before you, but still carry on that same legacy.
And adapt to the times, but also stay in line with the tradition.
Yeah, I think I love that too, and I feel like, you know, I love watching a lot, you know, a lot of stuff that Warren posts. I say I'm always like keeping up with him on Instagram, and you know, just hearing him talk and just talk about just everything in life in general. And you know, he does a lot of this stuff in nature. I know you're big into a lot of that stuff too.
Oh man. Yeah,
I love to see what else do you guys work on? Is there anything else along those lines, like nature wise? Like,
I mean, I love to go hike with Warren, man. We went up, I went one time.
He does like those like walks, right? Like the, yeah, like the guys, like group things, right?
Yeah, he does that too. Yeah. We went up to Mount LeConte.
Where's that?
It's in the Smoky Mountains.
Okay.
Up in past Knoxville, right? And Gatlinburg in Tennessee. And we hiked Mount LeConte. It's a 5 mile hike up, 5 miles back. We stayed up at the top in hammocks. And it was warm out during the day, but at nighttime, because you're so high up, it was freezing.
Oh, shit.
We didn't have a tent or anything. We were just in hammock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Some kind of, we believe it's some kind of cat, like mountain lion or something, was trying to get to our food at one
point. No way.
Yeah, he saw it. And I was like, man, there's no cat over there, man. Get out of here. I'm hungry. Like, let's eat. Right. And he was like, nah, dude, there's a cat. I looked
over. Warren was saying this?
Yeah. And, but he was right. I looked over shit. And I see these eyes and I see like
at
this
night?
Thing at nighttime.
At night.
Yeah, I could see the eyes.
Oh, that's spooky.
But it looked very menacing, like it was hunting us. You know what I mean? It didn't look like there was an owl in the distance chilling on a branch.
Oh,
it was like it was coming for our food. Long story short, I was so hungry and he had the food and he was starting to cook it. He was like, let's put this up. That cat's over there. I said, man, give me that Rambo knife. If that cat gets to me or gets through me, we got a way bigger problem. You know what I mean?
Let's yeah. Eat. Yeah.
So we did. We ate and everything was cool. And then we had to tie our food up and put it up in a tree.
And nothing ended up happening, but damn.
Nah, but it was on the hunt for sure. You could see it.
Oh, definitely.
It was crazy.
How many, what you said, was it just you and him or were there? Was
just
there
me and Warren, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, on that hike. Yeah, it was dope.
That's cool, man.
Mount LeConte's incredible though. It's like, as you hike up the mountain, it feels like you're going through different landscapes, like maybe different countries or, you know what I mean?
Like the scenery kind of changes and stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's one part I always say kind of reminds me of like what Japan would look like up in the mountains.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's really crazy.
Yeah. Do you often find like when you're out in nature like that, are you able to like really reconnect with, like, I'll say like your inner and your, like your creativity, like 100%. Are you able to tap more into that?
Yeah, 100%. I like to, you know, when I'm out in the world on, whether we're on tour or a promo run or whatever's going on, just moving and everything's fast. We say time traveling.
Yeah, you just time travel the last few days, bro.
Right. But it's like, when I get back from that, man, you know, to combat any kind of stress or burnout or anything like that, I go right to the woods. Like literally right to
that's
the forest.
That's like your reset?
Yeah, I mean, I sit in the middle of the forest. I got areas carved out, you know, with chairs and stuff like that. And I just go sit out there sometimes, man, and meditate. Sometimes all day long. You know
really?
What I mean? And just listen to the birds. And I was out there one day so long and so quiet and sat so still. No lie, two vultures came and landed in the trees right above me. And I was like, man, it's kind of cool. Like, and then somebody said, yeah, they probably thought you were dead. They were about to come down and try to eat you.
Dude, you were so at peace. You were just,
it's
wow.
Like, it's important, man. I think it's important to get out there. And I believe that the, you know, the sounds of the nature and the wind and the birds and all these things, you know, it feels like it's good for your soul. You know what I mean? Kind of brings you back to what's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I know with how much you're always on the go, right? Like mm-hmm. I often wonder, like, you know, what you do to kind of reset and recenter.
Well, you know, we talked about this 100 times, but mushrooms specifically, And I mean, I give credit to mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, but I use them in a much more, I'm not going to say much more respectful. I use them in a ceremonial aspect. You know what I mean? Treat them with the utmost respect. And I know that could come off as sounding a little crazy to some people, but when you step into that experience, all of a sudden it makes all the sense in the world, right? It's easy from the outside looking in to say, that's crazy. But when you step into that experience, man, it's life-changing. You know, a lot of the positive things that I've grown into as I've gotten older are literally due to mushrooms.
Yeah, I know you kind of touched on a little bit in the last episode, but like you literally said, like they actually saved my life.
100%. I mean, right before this tour, at one point, my lady was packing and I said, I got to go out and do some mushrooms before we go on this road. And, you know, she was like, you sure you got time? I said, yeah, I got time. I'd rather wear the same clothes every day and have my mind right. And, you know, the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out, did a big journey, and it carried me all the way through the tour with the best energy. You know what I mean? We've literally had, I believe, the best tour that I've ever been on with Wolf. It was just positive energy. Happy birthday every night. You know what I mean? Birthday parties every single night. We get cakes on the rider, and we sing happy birthday every night.
I love that, by the way.
I love it. Yeah. It like gives me this energy. And I think it gives it to everybody. It's contagious. You know,
yeah.
We invite everybody who's right there, whether it's security guards or promoters
you
or whoever.
You bring everybody in.
Man, run through the hallway. Hurry up. We got to sing happy birthday. You know what I mean?
I love it.
It's just good energy, man.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, again, I've never really been, you know, I'll say I'm backstage, like in environments, you know, like this. Like obviously you've been a million and one times, but I can imagine there's a lot of other artists out there and talent that are probably the exact opposite and are mm-hmm. probably complete assholes mm-hmm. to like staff and, you know, anyone there, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. matter like whether it's somebody high up or whether it's just a kid sitting in the corner, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, whatever his role is, right?
Right.
Like just like I'll say like somebody who doesn't have like much of a role and kind of needs to keep back and all that. But mm-hmm. I think it's so cool that you do that and you embrace everybody, man. Like,
well, and it's
so people
fair,
don't expect that.
Right. They don't expect it. And sometimes I think, you know, they even react suspicious. Like, yeah, you look at someone and say, hey, how are you today? You know, sometimes they look at
people
you.
People do that anywhere, right? Like, right. Especially, which I think it makes it even more impactful in your environment right then and there. Because, like, even if it's like you're on the street, mm-hmm. let's just take, you know, forget the environment that you're in with, you know, on tour, right? That's obviously mm-hmm. a whole different level of what's happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. But like, you just do that on the street, just walk up to somebody, hey, how you doing today? Most right. people look at you like you're weird.
And I think that's important, man. Like, we're at a place in the world where it's important to remember to recognize people and, you know, give people their flowers, you know, even if you don't know them. But everyone on our tour, I want to mention this. Everyone on our tour is on the same frequency. You know what I mean? I'm not doing anything other than being a part of what we all bring to the table. You know what I mean? And I'm very, very thankful it's a lot easier on the road when you have family. You know, like everybody on our tour is just incredible.
How do you hold everyone together, man? Like there's a lot that goes
vibe,
into that.
Man, frequency, you know what I mean? Like keeping everybody, the goal is to keep everybody's spirits up and everybody's vibes up, and we work together. That's a group effort. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Everybody yeah. plays a role in that.
So I went. So all right. So how does the cake thing work? Like run me through this. So like, is the cake out? Like is it out? Like
no,
you know,
we
like
hide
on
the
table.
Cake.
Oh, it's hidden.
We hide.
So
the
it's
cake.
Like a it's a surprise.
Surprise party.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't think anybody forgets, but every night we act like we didn't realize it was about to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's important
great.
Part too. And,
yeah,
and you got to take a bite of the cake. It's good luck.
Oh, so who leads it? Who is it? Like, is there one? Like,
we trade it off.
Like, okay,
we trade it off. Yeah, it's like who wants to do the honor?
Okay,
who
so it's, honor? So like so kind of a little bit beforehand. There's somebody there's like maybe a couple people that are in on it more than the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
And then like, do you pick like one person to sing it to? Like, how does that?
No, we sing it to everybody. So when
oh,
we get
okay,
to the point
okay.
of like. Saying the name, you just kind of point around the room and say everybody's name,
I
and
see,
then
I
everybody
see.
Blows a cake out, takes a bite, and we keep it moving.
I love it. Was there ever any, I'll say unexpected, like whether it was like a security guard or like anyone backstage that probably would have never participated in something like that?
100%.
Like, had you guys not brought them in? Like, was there anyone that was like, you'd be like, oh yeah, they would never do
security
this?
Security guards, for sure.
For real?
You know, and they just light up and play the position and, you know, get involved. And it's really, really dope, man.
It's cool. Yeah. Cause obviously you probably don't expect, you know, I'm sure there's probably some big burly, heavily armed dudes backstage at some of these shows, right? And
right.
You know, I would imagine that they probably, you know, the type of, most of them are probably the type of guys that would never be like, they'd probably just be like, nah, I'm good. Like, but they embrace it, huh?
They embrace it, dude. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's hard to run from good energy.
Oh, totally. I mean? Yeah. And yeah. I think too, like, just like I said before, when we first started, man, you can recognize it as soon as you walk in a room.
Hell,
like
yeah.
you could just feel it.
Yeah.
And I'd say, like, you know, over the last couple of years, man, I think it actually, I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm not just saying this because, like, we're here and it's just you. Because I've said this, I mean, I've said this so many times. I've said it probably on multiple shows from since your episode of 178. I've said it probably on multiple shows and just, you know, talking to friends and family ever mm-hmm. since that trip when I was down there with you guys. The energy, like, I feel like when I left Nashville, it was different in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I brought back your energy here.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's dope. I love that.
I think I brought some of the energy back here. And man, like, ever since then, like, I've, like, grown so much, like, personally and professionally.
And that's dope.
Honestly, like, I really attribute it to, you know, a lot of that trip.
Wow,
you know,
man, that's incredible.
I really do, because, well, first of all, like, you know, when we came down, well, had no idea what to expect, right? You know, we didn't really know each other.
I could have been crazy too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 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 Either one of us, right?
Right. But right.
You, I feel like you probably took a bigger risk on me than, you know, than anything. But because I'm a stranger coming from out of town, like, and you gave me a lot of space, which was I'm grateful forever for, which I think is why we built such a great relationship over the last few years. But yeah, it was, again, just that that energy that I feel like I sucked up when I was there, man. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, hanging and meeting some, you know, your team. Mm-hmm. It was like nothing I've ever experienced before, right? And also too, and I joke and I can say this, like, out of, like, respect, like, prior to, and I think I might have said this before to you as well, like, I never would have ever have gone to Nashville.
For real?
I'm serious, dude. I never, ever, ever in my life would have any inclination to go to Nashville, like, until, like, we linked up. And I was like, okay, like, I'll go down. I'll, you know, I'm sure, like, Edward's gonna be cool, right? Mm-hmm. And all that. And I was like, it'll be a good time. We'll make some really killer episodes, I'm sure, right? This is what I'm thinking, right? Again, that it was one of those locations that it was never, ever, ever, I'll say, like, on, like, a, I don't say bucket list or whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, it'd be a place that I'm just like, I'm just not interested in, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely loved it. And, you know, I haven't had the time to, you know, come back again, but I definitely want to and need to come back. But
you
it was one,
come back.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, hell yeah. But again, it was one of those places that I'm just like, I just didn't give a shit about,
right?
You know? And, like, I hate to even, like, say that now, 'cause I'm like, damn, like, I'm like disrespecting the place. And, like, I've never even been.
Well, it's interesting when things change your perspective. You know what I mean? When you felt one way and then they change, you know?
Yeah.
Very similar to how I felt coming up here for the festival. Was a little nervous about it. Didn't know how I was going to go. And
right.
So thankful I jumped in that rental car and drove, you know what I mean? Because it couldn't have been more incredible.
Dude, imagine if you didn't. I mean, we wouldn't be here. I mean, literally, I mean, obviously we would not be sitting here doing this right now.
Right.
You know, all this, and, you know, I'm holding the cigars right now. Like, all this could have been all for nothing.
Right. Right.
You know? Like, if you just didn't do that. And I mean, I'm glad you did, man.
Me too, bro. Me too.
It's been some time. And it's killer to be able to sit down and well, just obviously catch up and hang out the last few days, and obviously do this episode too. And
right.
But again, like I said, like, the experience of coming down there, like, it's, I'll just say from a, you know, like, a music perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, I kind of knew this, like, before we met.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say, like, my perspective more on Nashville, and I think could probably be, like, the perspective that a lot of people have is that
country.
It's more country. Yeah, right. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Is it's only country. And, you know, I knew that it wasn't, obviously, because, well, obviously, you know, I know Wolf's music. I know, you know, I know other music that, you know, have, you know, some other great, I'll say, hip hop artists that have come out of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
Young Buck.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely another one of my favorites. You know, obviously I've appreciated his music over the years. You know, I was like, nah, like, I was like, okay, yeah, besides, like, the handful of artists that, like, I know and that I like and respect, I was like, you know, it's like, oh, like, it's like a stupid country place. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus then also I feel like sometimes it gets, like, that bad rap of, like, you know, like the bachelorette party type vibe. And
I think it's
like
a bachelorette party capital of the world.
It pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Which is crazy, because you go downtown to Broadway, and I'm telling you, it looks like Nashville's parents aren't home.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like,
totally.
It's bananas.
It is.
We got tractors with people in the back of them going down Broadway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's probably the craziest city in the country right now.
It really
is. Outside of like Mardi Gras or something like that.
Yeah. And it's growing like crazy.
Yeah. People coming from all over.
Yeah. I couldn't believe like, and I'm sure, well, obviously it's been, you know, almost 2 years since I've been there, but I can't imagine how much more it's grown since then. Cause I remember we were there. There was like whole city blocks that were like mm-hmm. under construction. I mean like under construction, like mm-hmm. building major structures, like not just little, you know, one story,
right,
you know, fixer right. upper type thing. I'm talking like there was major infrastructure going on down there when we were right. there a couple of years ago. And yeah, I'm sure like it's, you know, it's just grown significantly since then. Like you said, like it's crazy. It's crazy to see. And you know, somebody like you, obviously you've been down there most of your life. Obviously, so you knew it before, mm-hmm. before this boom.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Know? Big time. And I feel like, you know, obviously I wasn't around yet, but I think in the '70s, maybe early '80s, I'm not sure, but Music Row, you know, I've been told by some of the mentors I've had through the years, Tommy Dorsey's told me, you know, you could see anybody from Bob Dylan to Johnny Cash walking down the street.
It's crazy.
You know, I mean, on Music Row. And it's like, that used to be, I mean, Music Row still has studios and labels and stuff like that. It's still a thing, but it used to be the go-to spot. Now a lot of stuff is happening at Berry Hill. Berry Hill is where like Blackbird Studios are.
Okay.
You know what I mean? East Iris. There's a lot
of studios. I remember that name from when we were down there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of studios over there, man. It's crazy. It's, in my mind, it's becoming like the same thing as Music Row was back then.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's thriving. And the music is becoming more diverse. Sure, there's a ton of country. And as you know, country's got a new resurgence right now. People have a new yeah. appreciation for it. And I'd say a lot of that's due to Jelly Roll. You know what I mean? Jelly Roll's been monumental in putting attention on country music in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. And I think you touched on it a little bit last time too, but I know like you and Jelly and Wolf too, all kind of go back, like far back.
Way back. Yeah. Back to middle school. I mean,
damn.
Yeah, that's my boy. Good
that's
people.
That's cool.
Yeah. Same with Wolf. I mean, I've known Wolf since I was 13. We used to paint graffiti together.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And they say a lot of times, you know, don't mix business with friendship. In our case, I'm going to speak for Wolf. I don't think either one of us would have any other way. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only way this could work.
That's rare, by the way. That's rare. I understand that dynamic. You know, I know, obviously I've came from, you know, my background, you know, working in family business and it's tough, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's tough, like mixing family, friends and business. Like it's one of the hardest things to navigate and to do it and do it right mm-hmm. and be successful at it. And, you know, again, just knowing obviously what I know about you guys, like, It's unbelievable the chemistry that you and your team have. I mean, not just you and Wolf, but mm-hmm. I mean like everyone.
The whole
like
team.
Ian,
yeah.
like just oh, everybody,
Ian's,
bro.
Ian's mission control, man. I keep Ian with me.
Dude, that dude, like he knows what's going on.
Right, right.
You know? But yeah, man, I love it. I think it's so cool to see just to see all the moving parts mm-hmm. in action.
I got another partner that I want to shout out to, Benji. Benji's a kind of like a silent killer, like an assassin.
Yeah, I kind of know that. I kind of think I know that name from Instagram. I feel like
Yeah. Benji's in the background, but Benji's a
man. Is he marketing?
Marketing,
right? Okay.
I mean, he does 100 things, but
yep.
But yeah, he's the other part of my direct team.
You know?
So Benji and Ian, shout out.
Yeah, holding it together. I feel like too a lot of times the behind the scenes people. Sometimes I don't get the credit, but they don't right. get like the shout because they're not out, you know, they're not front facing,
right?
You know, but so some of those people, man, are you know, again, same thing here, like too, like some of those people, man, they're equally as important, and
right.
and some, you know, if it weren't for you know any people behind the scenes that like help keep the wheels moving, man, like we wouldn't be here.
It's crazy because up until a couple of years ago. I mean, that was kind of my position. You know what I mean? I was always in the background, always doing, but then I stepped back into my creativity. You know, I come from mm-hmm. a background of visual arts and theater. I went to magnet schools for acting and theater.
Yeah, I want to back up a little. I want to kind of, you know, let's kind of get into this because mm-hmm. I know there's a big, huge creative side of you mm-hmm. that I feel like sometimes maybe because of everything that you do and on tour and all that, like sometimes you're maybe just not able to tap into it as much as like right. you probably like to, right? So
right.
I'd love to hear more about you know, that background and kind of how like you're looking to do other things going forward.
Well, art wise, I mean, I was a graffiti artist, muralist for a long time, you know, was part of a big crew, AM7, one of the biggest at the time. They've morphed into other crews and done a lot of really cool things. I went to school for visual arts, went to school for theater in high school, like mm-hmm. magnet schools. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Memphis College of Art to study art. And then I dropped out because I had too much going on, you know what I mean? And kind of left art behind once I stepped into a business management role. And my mother always used to tell me, don't forget to be creative. And I would forget to be creative, you know, and the, I love business. I'm good at it. I have the bandwidth for it. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of thrive in chaos, but it also becomes acidic, and creativity is my therapy. And it took me many years to remember to circle back to that, but that's where my roots are. You know what I mean? So when people see that and they're confused, sometimes I have to remind people that that's literally before the business I was creative, you know? And I had the blessing, man, of a buddy of mine named Dax, OG from Atlanta, Dungeon Family, amazing visual artist. He introduced me to another guy named Rhyme, R-I-M-E-M-S-K. And he came out to the land, man, and to my spot out in the country. And we had some ceremonies, and man, it was absolutely incredible. It's the first time I've really went far in a journey with someone who was as experienced as I am doing these things, right? And it was like playing ball with somebody who could play ball too. You know what I mean? And we had a crazy experience. I won't get into that right now. It's a long story.
Yeah.
But after the journey, you know, Rhyme, he's a big artist, man. And he said, I would like to paint my vision, like a mural of my vision on your barn, if that's cool. And I was like, if that's cool, I was like, man, I'd be honored. You know what I mean? Like, please. I didn't even know if he's actually going to do it, but he came up the next week and he painted. It's really, 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 really dope, man. But it's specifically two hands in the middle, and there's other stuff involved, eyes and hands, and he titled it, We Are the Hands of Our Ancestors, based on the trip. You know what I mean? There was it felt like a lot of ancestral energy. You know what I mean? Like a lot of, he specifically at one point touched on ancestors are proud. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's deep, man. It's really deep, but we're in a deep place. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't really know why we connected. It was just kind of like, we knew we were on the same page. We knew we could do that together.
Yeah, didn't you guys kind of connect like before this too? Like, wasn't there like,
they were going
to
do,
you were supposed to do something? Like, I remember you said something the other day, like you mentioned it, and so I remember the name from when it kind of just rang a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't you guys connect like a while before that? And then
Dax was going to come up. They were doing a road trip, and they were doing like, you know, they would stop by different places with different people who dealt with medicine,
okay,
you know what I mean, or psychedelics,
yep,
whatever the case.
So you guys were they were kind of coming. You were kind of like one of the stops on this,
one of the
like
stops,
this tour that they were doing.
Yeah, and then it didn't make it all the way to Tennessee at the time. Like 2 years passed. Dax hit me up and was like, "Yo, super random."
Oh shit! 2 years later.
Yeah, it wasn't right away. He was like, "Rhyme's coming up," so Rhyme came up. And the crazy thing is, like, while we were doing these ceremonies and these journeys, I mean, Rhyme is like, he's handing me notebooks. He's handing me drum, you know, like a drum you would be on, like, this, like a ceremonial drum. He's handing me singing bowls, and he's like just making me be creative. And I'm like, who is this guy? He's incredible, but who is this? What, you know what I mean? Like, this.
Yeah.
So then, at one point, the first night I actually linked with him, I linked up with him, some old friends of mine, Hasp and Zoo. That's what they write. That's their names, graffiti artists, and a young dude named Snare, who's really, really sick. He's been getting up. And I see Rhyme, introduce myself, and he goes, here's your paint. We're going painting. I said, dude, I got on cowboy boots. I just got done working. I was like, come on. And he was like, cowboy boots? That's legendary. Let's go. And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to paint with you, man. You're world famous. Like, I hadn't done this in 20 years. Come on. And he said, even cooler. Hands me the paint.
Yeah,
right, let's go.
That's
so we
cool.
go paint. And, you know, and it was cool because it was finding the space in that experience where it didn't matter that I hadn't done it in 20 years. It was about the therapy. It was about the experience. Not necessarily about, is the end result going to be incredible? You know, it was about the journey, the therapy, and it was incredible. So then we did these other ceremonies. I'm kind of bouncing around right now, but we did these other ceremonies, and Rhyme had me writing and drawing and playing a drum and singing bowl. And at one point, he said, now I know why I came. I said, why? He said, to remind you to be creative. You know, and it was like, whoa. Rhyme didn't know that that's what my mother was telling me before she passed. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was deep. It's really for me personally. You know what I mean? It was probably for anybody else. It might have just been like, hey, dude, you need to remember to be creative. But for me, it was really, really deep. And it's been something that I've nurtured since then. You know what I mean? Like something else I've been doing every year. And it's not necessarily that we're, you know, too concerned with LSD or anything. It just gives me a date. It gives me a project. But we just did our third year. April 19th is Bicycle Day. That's the day in 1943 when Albert Hoffman took the first trip, right? He accidentally ingested LSD.
Oh, this is part of your blotter, right? The blotter paper?
Yeah.
Because I got that first one.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you just came out with the second one not long ago.
Well, we right? came out with the third one.
Our third. So
we're on the
That's
third
right.
year.
Okay.
Now. Yeah. And for the third year, I wanted to collaborate with Wolf. So we did, you know, like I said, hence our relationship, our business and friendship and brotherhood, you know. We decided to do one together for the third year, three being a number that makes sense, you know what I mean? And it stood for amalgamation, which is essentially the idea of two or more energies or entities coming together to form one more powerful energy. And, you know, it had the 5150 flower, the crow logo, threes. There's a lot of symbolism. I won't speak
power
on it here.
Power of threes, hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like it was representing like me and Wolf coming together and forming this more powerful energy, right? And I feel like it carried into this tour, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of, I don't know, man, just a lot of positive motion.
Totally.
That we got going on. And the amalgamation was like a tribute to that positive motion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, you got to check that out. I actually brought one for you, but I left it at the hotel.
Oh,
I'll give it to you in a little while.
Oh, awesome, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I love the story though with Ryan, man. And tying it back like with your mom.
Dope.
Like that is, dude, I mean, I still have the chills, but like when you told that story, man, like that story, like, you know, again, going back to what your mom said to you, remember mm-hmm. to be, it was remember to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
That's, mm-hmm. But and was your, I think your mom was an artist too, didn't, I think you said.
She was a photographer.
A photographer, yeah, okay.
But she would
remember
also.
You briefly touched on it in that last episode.
Yeah, she would hand color black and white photos. So okay. She would do black and white photos and develop them, and then she would hand color them herself, like just color different parts of it.
You okay. know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, she was incredible.
Wow.
She was really dope. But she was always in my corner, always, you know, rooting for me, wanting me to be creative, man. I guess being my mother, she saw what it did for my soul, you know what I mean? Saw that. How I would act or the therapy I would receive from the process.
Hmm.
You know, so now I try to remember constantly. And the people I work with, Wolf, everybody knows at this point, you know, it might have taken a little while for me to come out of my shell and express that, but they all know that I got to go on a creative journey occasionally to be all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's a positive thing.
It
you
is.
Know what I'm saying?
It is because, you know, and I think I think your team, they probably respect it because they know that when you go and do that stuff and then after that, you are ready to go. You come back to that tour mm-hmm. and dude, you're like refreshed and you're probably better than ever each time, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
And then after the tour, I go back, do a ceremony, you know, write some stuff towards some of these books I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back feeling like $1 million bucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So did you create a lot like with your mom? Like when you were younger?
Yeah, we used to shoot. Like that's what got me into photography is I used to run around with her. I mean, she would... There's like a spot, for instance, Marathon Village in Tennessee, and they built it up now. It's incredible. It's antique archaeology over there. I mean, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of cool stuff. But back in the day, it was completely abandoned. And I mean, my mom would take me. I was like 11. She would take me, and we'd climb up on the rooftop. I mean, this is me following her. I'm not saying, hey, mom, let's go on the roof. No, she's taking
That's
me like
cool.
rooftops and abandoned buildings.
Hell
you know,
yeah.
Just fearless.
I love that.
And that instilled that in me. You know what I mean? And then I started going to New York with some of my friends, specifically, and we'll just go up there and paint, man, and get in, you know, completely in the culture, like where it started. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is back when you were like a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Paint on the subways. And
yeah,
we did a production on Broadway in Queens with some legends like Poem. And I mean, that was huge for us back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's sick.
Yeah, dude.
I'd love to hear that. Yeah. Anything else on the creativity side?
I mean, we, you know, this has been a creative journey. I recently did a 5150 tour photography book.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So before I was Wolf's tour manager, I was his merch guy, and then I was his tour photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And man, we just saved all the photos. We passed around a notebook for them to draw in, sketch in, you know, whenever they felt inspired to do so. And I saved tickets from the shows. And then it took like 4.5 years to really bring it to life. And the cool thing is, so it was published by Joker Publishing, Estevan Oriol, who, man, if you don't know, now you know. I mean, Estevan Oriol, LA Originals on Netflix, super, super triple OG. I mean,
for real, like OG, OG. If you don't know, if you haven't seen LA Originals, oh man.
Yeah. I mean, Estevan is my favorite photographer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
he's a,
hey, I know he's directed some of your, some videos and stuff of Wolf too, right? I think.
Well, he's been in them. He's been in some videos. Well, he's photographed Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah. But he, you know, it all started, he knew I shot photos and stuff like that, but he's one of them guys you don't go to and ask for nothing like that. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
not really how you approach
it. Not how it works. Don't work like that.
Nah, but I got to be friends with him. And one night we had had a couple of drinks, you know what I mean? And me and Cairo had been working on this book for a couple of years, man. I had no idea. I mean, I was shopping around. I was calling companies, trying to figure out how to bring it to life.
But nothing was vibing. Nothing was hitting.
I mean, it was, but it wasn't, there was no love on the other side. As not necessarily that there should be. You know what I mean? It's not, I'm not saying there should be, but when there is, it goes a long way, right? Yeah. So it was like, you know, it was just a job and I couldn't necessarily trust that because it's like, I don't know if this is going to turn out how I need it to. But then I was sitting with Estevan at the Sunset Marquee in Hollywood. And we had just enough. I was in the sweet spot. You know what I mean? Wasn't tipsy.
Yeah.
But had enough confidence to tell the OG.
Tell him what you were working on?
Yeah, I told him what I was working on. And, you know, he kind of was like, oh, for real? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, as the OG, as the OG photographer, right?
Yeah. And I mean, he's, I don't even know how many books he has. He has a ton of books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's, you know, he's legendary.
And, for sure.
So I told him that and he was like, oh, that's cool. Let me see it. I showed it to him, like just a PDF. I didn't have a book yet.
Yeah.
Just showed him a PDF of the entire book. Like, it's over 140 pages. He loved it. He loved it. He said, I want to put it out. And I was like, wait a minute.
You're like, what?
Yeah. So it ended up working out, man. It took us a little while, but Drago Publishing, Joker brand, and Estevan Oriol dropped that. And then it's, you know, Cairo Wolf designed and laid out the whole entire book.
It's killer. I have a copy.
Yeah. Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, something I'm really, really, really proud of that, man. It took a long time. Same kind of like the cigars. Like,
yeah.
Didn't know if it was going to come to life. There was a certain couple times it was like, man, you know what? Let's abandon ship.
But I think that's what's so what's so cool and so unique, I'll say just from a creative standpoint, is that even though sometimes some things like this, like these projects take maybe a couple years or a few years longer than expected and you hit these roadblocks and then some way, shape, or form, you know, like you said, as you're going around, you're talking to different, you know, possible partners out there for publishing or whatever it is, right?
Right.
And it's like, okay, you could have done it with some of the others. It could have worked. Like, and it would have been like, it would have been great. Or it would have been good. Let me say this. It would have been good, but wouldn't have been great.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But I think there's probably just something inside you, and I just know this too, because I feel like I'm the same way when it comes to like this. You have like this intuition that like you just know it's not right.
Right.
And you just know like, yeah, I know I could do it with them or whatever, but it just doesn't
feel right.
And
it doesn't feel legendary, extraordinary.
Yeah, and you just it didn't work out for those reasons, right? Like it didn't work out because it wasn't meant to work out, and you just, you know, you sit on it like sort of intentionally but unintentionally. It's kind of one of those things it's like a subconscious thing. I think it's like really deep rooted like in the subconscious where like you just kind of put it on pause and you're kind of, whether it's procrastination or, because I do this myself, man, like where I'm like procrastinating a project, like even me, like rebranding part of my company, I was telling you a little about the other day, but even for me, like sometimes I drag things out like way longer and then it just hits one day.
Right.
And I just get in that zone. It's like the zone of genius.
Right.
And like right before like me, like, you know, like the last like few weeks or just about a month ago when I was like working on this rebrand and this new launch here, I sort of like hit that wall and I'm just like, I wasn't feeling it.
Damn.
And like, even a few months leading up to that, I was just like, it's just like, I just don't know about this. Like, and I'm like second guessing everything,
right?
Everything, you know? Right. And then all of a sudden something just hits, like just that creativity. And then you're like, whoa, this is it. Like,
right.
This is it. And it connects and you got the right people involved now. And same for you. Like, you know, I feel like even some of these projects, like even though it took as long as it did, it was supposed to.
It was supposed
to.
Because it was like when we got to the, for instance, back to the cigars, we keep circling back to that.
But yeah.
I mean, if Laura hadn't have told me about smoking those, I mean, I had no knowledge of that.
Yeah.
If I didn't know, I would have never been there and we wouldn't have experienced such a successful launch. You know what I mean? It was all accidental. I mean, if everything went as originally planned, these would have came out a year ago.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been at Smoke and O's and it wouldn't have got the reaction and we wouldn't have the knowledge to go to more of these festivals, right? It's like everything worked out exactly as it was supposed to.
100%.
I don't think it could have went any better.
No, I mean? It couldn't have. Right. It really couldn't have. And what's even crazier, I don't even know if you remember this, I kind of just thought of it now, but I'm almost positive, like when we first connected actually, and this was a while before I even came to Nashville. Mm-hmm. When we first connected, I remember the very first conversation we had on the phone, and like we weren't talking anything. Like we were just talking personal. I was like, yo, man, like, you know, it was that moment on the phone where like we feel like we knew each other, but we didn't.
Right.
You know, do you remember that conversation, bro?
I remember
that. I had already like, you know, because we were connected on Instagram. But I had already at that point, I'd already like seen some of your photography work, obviously because of your page. Mm-hmm. But I had been on your website a couple times because I just appreciate anything photography, video, mm-hmm. any type of creativity, anything in general. I could always appreciate work that like stuff that I don't do, you know what I mean? So or even work that I do, but also just like other people that do dope shit mm-hmm. that's similar. And I remember just being on your website and as on the phone with you, I was like, yo, man, yeah. I was like, I see you like you're into photography and stuff. And actually this is what sparked the conversation because you had just been on some other podcast and you were talking mushrooms mm-hmm. on some other podcast. And that clip, right before that phone conversation a couple years ago, that clip, I just happened to come across it and I saw you talking about it. And again, at that time, like, you know, sometimes I would see your stuff and I'd be like, oh, cool, whatever. And I'm just like scrolling. Mm-hmm. You know, but then that day on that conversation on that phone when we first had that first phone conversation, before that it was just like some texts,
right?
And like sometimes, you know, we didn't really get back to each other on some things. Mm-hmm. And then we had that conversation on the phone, and it was probably one of those things too where like I think we were both still like, yo, is this guy legit?
Right?
Is this guy cool?
Right.
Like you probably and I won't even take offense to it. You didn't trust me, and probably I didn't trust you.
Right?
And I'm like, who is this guy?
Right?
You know, like I mean, obviously from a 1,000-foot perspective, like we could see who each other are.
Yeah.
But it's different.
It's different when it's face to face, man.
Yeah, and it's different from the outside, and then bringing somebody more to the inside,
right?
And actually, like saying, like, all right, yo, let's get together, absolutely. Let's work on something.
Yeah,
like, and it's just again, it took a while for us to even like actually even have a real conversation,
absolutely,
and then have the conversation, have more conversations in person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just, man, it's just it's so crazy. Like, it really is, you know, and to be honest, like actually one of these, this tattoo right here that I got this right when I came back from that trip. Yeah. I swear to God, bro, this was inspired partly by the trip when I came down. I don't think I ever told you.
You didn't tell me that. That's dope.
This right here, part of it was like my true north. When I tell you changed my life, bro, I ain't kidding.
Let's go.
Like this, bro. Literally, this right here, and I won't go into like all the detail of it, mm-hmm. but like this right here, man, that was from that trip when I, so I was going to get something there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn. I don't think I ever, did I tell you this?
No.
Like, I was literally going to get something there. Like, I was so inspired by the trip. I was like, yo, I don't know why I didn't ask you, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know, for, like, a recommendation, like, where to go. But like, I was so inspired there that I was like, I almost got this there. We just ran out of time.
Right.
Like, literally,
right.
we just ran out of time because, like, you know, we did some more, you know, episodes for the show and whatever.
You guys, how many you do where you're done?
Four. We did four.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys killed it.
Yeah. And thanks, obviously, you introduced me to Baldy, which was dope. That was a great, that was another great, great one down there too.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, so I'm not kidding. I think I got this, this one literally the day after we came back here.
That's dope.
I'm not kidding.
Same guy that we're going to see, right?
That's right. By the way, we're going to see him. Yeah, his name is Nick Frenchco, South Main Street Tattoo. He's only 5 minutes up the road here.
More tattoos. Let's go.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what we both need, right?
That's what we need.
We'll try to spare your the joints or your, you know, on your trip back. I know you're probably flying this time, so you're good heading out of here. Right. But no more kneecap tats on the way out.
No, hell no. I'm headed to The Voice.
Yeah, where are you going?
I leave here.
Yeah.
Headed to LA to go to The Voice. I work with and I manage an artist named Huntley, who's incredible. He won season 24 of The Voice, and they've had him back to sing what's the name of the song? Skyline Drive.
Okay.
They had him back to sing Skyline Drive. It was incredible. A whole lot of love, man.
Yeah.
They treat him like, I mean, they love him.
I love it. I love his voice, by the way.
He's next level, bro, and he's gonna interview. This time, he's interviewing the winner and the coach.
Okay,
So that's major. You know,
yeah.
But The Voice, they showed him a lot of love. They flew him to Nashville to try a milkshake and go to a concert.
Get the hell out of here.
So if this is today's work, all right, cool.
You know, yeah. Yeah. So what is what's he hosting? He's doing like a live thing, right?
Yeah, he's going to interview the winner, this season's winner,
yep,
and their coach.
Cool.
You know what I mean? On the red carpet. So, I mean, awesome. It's an honor. You know, the goal is eventually be a judge. You know, that's what he wants to do.
Awesome. That's really exciting. What else? Anything else you and the boys working on?
Hell yeah, man. So another artist I manage, J. Michael Phillips, incredible urban country.
Yep.
Him and Wolf have been working together and they get along great and make incredible music. And they did a project called Whiskey and Roses that comes out July 11th. We dropped the first single. I don't remember the date off the top of my head, but it's already out. It's called I Swear. It's absolutely incredible.
It is.
Yeah, it's killer, man. The video shot by Patrick Tohill, really good friend of mine, an incredible director. And we have two more videos to drop. And they're coming with the next single. Third one is July 11th when the album Whiskey and Roses drops. I couldn't be more excited, man.
Shit.
And then the 45 awesome. Tour, I mean, we've been selling out.
Yeah, bro, you've been everywhere.
We've been selling out the 45 tour, man. And then, you know, that's leading up to Wolf's next big studio album, 45, produced by Malay, another really good friend of ours. And besides a friend of ours, top-notch chef and multi-Grammy award-winning producer, you know. Top shelf, man.
Hell yeah.
So 45 is going to be like, I mean, we think, in my opinion, it's going to be Wolf's best album to date, you know.
When's do you have a drop date for that yet?
Not yet. I like to have everything in the chamber, like everything ready to go. Once we start setting release dates before we got masters and artwork and all that, you know, I feel like it leaves room for error. So no, we don't have a date yet, but we will in the next 2 months.
Okay.
You know,
looking forward to that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, man.
You got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, hell yeah, I have to.
I love it, man. You know, it's I know I said this earlier, and I feel like a broken record sometimes, no pun intended, right? But bro, I love having conversations with you because it's just there's not many people, I feel like, that you know, operate on this type of level.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from all aspects, just not just like creativity, but the, you know, business standpoint in general.
Mm.
But bro, like, you and you guys are like highest performers, like, you know, not, I don't mean like from a performance standpoint. I just mean like you guys crush it.
Thank you, bro.
Every time.
I appreciate
and you
that.
Do everything right.
Appreciate
like,
that, bro.
You do everything right. Like you don't cut corners.
Right.
You take your time. Like,
and that's important, man. It's easy to get to a quick dollar.
You know, yeah. It's like, I want to put that out. Cause like, well, hey, we got to get the cash flow in.
Yeah. I like to think about things like these things are going to outlive us. You know what I mean? These things are going to be what people remember us by.
It's legacy.
I mean? Is it inspiring? Is it quality? Is it dope? You know what I mean? If so, let's go.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Bro, I'm so grateful that we connected here on your short trip in here, man. It's been, first of all, congrats again on Murder Cigars. I got one up here on the shelf. We're gonna keep that here.
Hell yeah.
I love it. I'm grateful to be part, like, you know, somehow a little part of this story.
You're the catalyst, man. Like you really took me and put me in a position, and I'm very, very thankful.
Yeah.
Very thankful. Well, it's crazy how I came to life.
Yeah, man. Well, like I said, I'm just grateful to be part of it in some sense. It doesn't matter to me. Like when you said, hey, I'm coming up, we got this festival going on. I was just like, yo, man, how can I help?
Let's go.
Like, I'm just like, yeah, man, I don't be part. I'm like, thankfully I told you like, hey, next week we're going away for a little bit, but, dude, it worked out like timing wise, man, it couldn't have been better.
Right.
And dude, if this was a week later, we wouldn't be here. Like, both of us wouldn't be here.
Right. Right?
But exactly. Like, dude, the timing of it was insane.
Absolutely.
Because it wasn't even planned. Like it was, but it was also last minute too. And you're like, hey bro, I'm coming up. I think this is like up near your area. And I'm like, yeah, dude. I'm like, yeah, it's like right here. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And just, again, the timing of it couldn't have worked out better. And I'm so glad that I was able to, you know, have you here, like actually in the studio.
Same,
you know,
bro.
Like, obviously the last episode was killer too, but doing that down in Nashville. And we're definitely gonna do that again at some sure. point. But I'm glad it's cool to have you up here in my town now, you know, and show you around a little bit.
Thanks for bringing me to your spot, man. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
The studio's dope.
Thank you, man.
And everything works out exactly as it should. So we're here on time.
Always does.
Yep.
Right. So right. Well, we got to go before we keep. We got to get some tats before you hit the road back, and we got to go see my guy Nick. So
let's get it, bro.
On the stacks. Thanks for joining me, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Boom.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.